Welcome to Church Media HQ. I am your host, Luke Clayton, and I am so glad that you have joined us for this episode. Now, this episode is also going to be a little bit different because what we're going to feature here is actually a conversation that I had with Brian Sams, actually as a guest on his podcast, The Brian Sams Podcast. And I really enjoyed this conversation with Brian. And I have to say, his podcast is really great. And so if you haven't checked out the Brian Sams podcast, it's really good for church leaders and pastors. He's got a lot of insight on life and ministry. And again, it's just a really good podcast. And so I was honored. I counted it a privilege to be a guest on his podcast. And I wanted to share part of my conversation with you here in just a moment. Now, again, I want to remind you that if you have not subscribed yet to this podcast, to our podcast, that is, of course, get on Brian's podcast as well, but our podcast here, right here on this podcast feed, make sure you've done that. And whether you're a new subscriber or you've been with us for a while, I want to let you know that coming soon here in just, it's very, very soon, like in the next week or two, we're going to be announcing a new name for our podcast. And we're going to be really kind of shifting a little bit of our focus in terms of our content. Now, it's still going to be very applicable to all of you church and ministry leaders out there. It's going to talk about media and technology, but it's going to come more from the angle of how we can be responsible in the way that we interact with media and technology. It's no secret that our culture and our society is driven by media, and whether you feel that that is good, bad, or indifferent, it is a reality, and we have to learn how to deal with that and manage that effectively. If we don't control our media consumption, then our media is going to control us. And so that is what the focus of our podcast will begin to kind of be geared towards. And if you're a pastor, if you're a church leader, or if you're a business leader, or if you're just an individual who's, you know, a leading your family or leading yourself, you're going to want to be engaged with the content we're putting out because it's going to help you as you navigate the crazy culture that we have that, again, that is driven by media and technology. And so make sure that if you haven't yet, you're subscribed to this podcast feed, but you're going to want to also get subscribed to our YouTube channel because moving forward, we're going to be putting different content on our YouTube channel that won't necessarily always show up here on the podcast feed. And so we're going to have short form videos, things that might be geared more towards church leaders and communication, media, and marketing in that way. And so make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/mustincrease. Get subscribed to our YouTube channel there and get subscribed to this podcast feed. And again, be looking for just some slight adjustments, if you will, some small changes in the weeks ahead as we change the name of our podcast, which I guess isn't really a small change, kind of a big change. But what I mean is what you're going to notice is the content in and of itself is not all that drastically different in that what we're covering still has to do with media and ultimately with our mission here at Must Increase, which is increasing truth and inspiring hope in the lives of others. Well, let's get to my conversation here with Brian Sams. Now, Brian is the pastor of the River City Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. And I have been honored to partner with Brian and his ministry there as a church, but also his ministry called Church Advance, which is geared towards helping pastors and church leaders. And so I am really excited to share part of my conversation. Now, it is only part of my conversation. If you want to hear the rest of it, you're going to want to make sure that you head over to Brian Sams' podcast. But I'm excited to share part one of my conversation with Brian Sams that was featured on his podcast, The Brian Sams Podcast. Check it out.
Luke, just give our audience a little, what's your first encounters with me there in California?
Yeah, so I want to say it was homiletics, one of the homiletics classes, homiletics 2 and 3. I took both those classes.
Yeah.
Sermon prep. Contemporary theology. Yeah. That was an interesting, fun one. And then counseling. Now I have to say this, and this is I mean no diss to your teaching abilities because they were awesome, but I loved your night classes, counseling youth conflicts 1 and 2, because it's a Monday night class. nobody wants to be there, including the teacher. And you, I mean, you're supposed to go 2 hours, and I loved it because you'd get about an hour in most times and be like, all right, and that's it for the night. And that's like a 3-credit class. So that's how I cheated. One of the ways I worked the system and got through Bible college there was, taking those classes.
Yeah, any of the administrators that listen to West Coast Baptist College, who are at West Coast Baptist College, I apologize for really the realities of what we did in those classrooms. And I hope somebody learned something, but we sure had a lot of fun. And homiletics and sermon prep have just given me a lifetime of fun memories. And so I still teach them to this day.
Yeah, and I have to say, homiletics classes, sermon prep, I mean, just the communication skills. I mean, you're clearly a gifted communicator, and just picking that up. I mean, I still remember so much of that, even to this day. Even me doing a podcast. I'm amazed at how I find myself applying some of the skills I even learned in those classes. So, again, no disrespect to your teaching ability. It's there.
Well, you know, it's funny. I still teach sermon prep, and now 2 or 3 different colleges. And I'm still refining the process. I'm still adding new tools. In fact, on that subject, now that's what we're talking about, but I just recently stumbled on one of John Maxwell's books that's incredibly helpful called Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. And I did find when I was teaching homiletics, the communication skill was a big lacking thing. You know, a lot of times you get done hearing a guy preach and you're like, I just don't understand what you were saying. Like, what were you talking about? And they may have been like really energized and excited and maybe even had some fairly decent content, but just making the connecting points with the audience. So I appreciate that. And man, it's been fun, Luke, to keep in touch somewhat loosely. When I left California, our kind of reconnection back in was when I came to River City Baptist Church, which was then Harvest Baptist Church. We began to work together. But before we talk about that, just remind our audience what you're doing. Tell us about Church Media HQ and what ministry you're involved in before we kind of bridge to our conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, I appreciate the opportunity. So Church Media HQ, really what we seek to be is a all-in-one media solution for churches. So, I used to be a creative media director full-time at a church. I did that for about 4.5 years or so, and then branched out and started my own business doing it. And, 9 out of 10 accounts that we serve our churches. And that has just been kind of my focus. It's what I love. It's what I believe I'm called to. And so, everything from graphic design, websites, video, even helping with like podcast production, getting your podcast set up, maintaining it. That's become something that's just huge nowadays. So we're helping with that. We can do printing things from, anything from like business cards all the way up to banners. And trying to be that all-in-one media solution for churches. And in the past couple years, for obvious reasons with everything that's gone on in the world, with the pandemic and everything, we've really leaned into the digital and online connection side, like I said, with podcasts, websites. That's really becoming, your website used to be your kind of a billboard for your church, and now it is becoming the first stop for many people that are, before they ever set foot in your church, they're going to go to your website. They're going to, watch or listen to a sermon online. They're going to learn what you're all about. And that's become more crucial than ever. So really leaning into that in recent years. So yeah, that's a little bit about what we do here at Church Beat HQ. Also do a lot of stuff for free. We have a weekly podcast where we're talking to, guests. We've had Brian, we've had you on before. We've had other guests on, just giving you, practical insight on how to use media and do some effective marketing at your church. We also have the free graphic of the week. We send you a weekly graphic every week, no charge. So, because I understand with churches, budget is always an issue. So even if we can help you out for free, we're glad to do it. So yeah, that's a little bit about Church Media HQ.
It's awesome. And I just want to say before we get into some of the discussion, we are customers. River City Baptist Church, the Church Advance brand, Brian Sam's podcast, even a missions project in Haiti. You've just really in recent months really just taken over our whole media outlook. Probably the only thing we really haven't really touched yet is video and just our YouTube strategy, but that's something that will no doubt come. But I, after just meeting with you and talking with you, I just became convinced personally that for us, the very best thing for us to do was to go and to do the one-stop shop, because we have multiple things going on. We got the church, we got the church podcast, we got, you know, then there's me, and I have kind of like an identity outside of the church. I'm not talking about like my identity in Christ. I'm talking about the things that I do.
Yes, yeah.
I'm talking about I have, you know what I mean? I have ministry mm-hmm. going on that is not related to River City.
Of course.
And I'm thankful for that. And it's, you know, been years of speaking and teaching college and still teaching college and just consulting, just all these kind of things. And I was like, you know, I need somebody helping me drive it. And I actually was listening to one of your episodes on your podcast. I'm a mild listener. I don't have time to listen to a lot of podcasts, but I do. You were talking about some things related to just some initial steps to improving your media presence. And I was listening to that. And I was like, you know what? Our website stinks, man. It stinks. I used to have that same mindset. It's basically just a billboard. It's a static billboard. But then I became frustrated with how many people were walking through our church door saying, we met you online, but I never connected with them. Mm-hmm. There was no connection. And I still was having trouble getting connection cards or something. I needed an upgrade. I needed to actually connect and engage online. I felt like you were leading the way, at least in, you know, the sphere of people that I'm hanging around. I felt like you were really leading the way. And so we're going to get into that in a minute, but I want to say also, I really appreciate, we probably never really talked about this, but you helped design the first track and website that we ever had back in 2016. Yeah. And I mean, when I came here, Luke, I don't know if you remember this, but our stuff was awful. It was Chick Tracks. It was Sword of the Lord Tracks.
You're name dropping over there. Yeah.
Oh, whoops. Yeah. Well, you know, that's just not where we are. None of it is. And then like our website, I still remember this. It was, I don't remember what the domain was, but the front page, the like landing page was, had this article called the Blessing of a Soul Winning Deacon. And it had a picture of a storefront and where a sign that would normally say help wanted, it said sinners wanted. And I was just like, no. In fact, we took the website down. We emptied all the track racks. We went without a website or without a gospel track for like 3 weeks because I would rather have giving nothing out than giving out something that looks so terrible. So anyways, you helped us there at Harvest, what was Harvest Baptist, and now we're full circle working together. And so I really appreciate what you're doing.
Coincidentally, you were, if not the first, one of the first few churches that I served when I started my business. I don't even know if you realize that you were reaching out to me literally just as I was starting. In fact, I remember getting a text from you or something. I said, hey, I saw you had the, I just started promoting, you know, my business. I said, hey, can you help me out? And I was like, yeah, you know, I just so happen to be doing that now. And so, it was first time for you, first time for me. And it was awesome.
And it got us through, man. And now, of course, we're now just in this new era, new level, and I needed guidance. And we had it done in-house for the longest time, design and everything. And I'm thankful for that season. It was very good. Had a volunteer that was here helping us with stuff, did our web and everything, and he ended up moving on. And Aaron and I can peck around with it, mess with it. But when it comes to non-static, like ongoing, keeping your website fresh, keeping your content good, we just didn't have it. And I looked at a website this morning. I was intrigued by it. It popped up in a Google search I was doing. It was a church, and I went to it and I was like, oh, this poor church. No, please, no, fix this now. Fix it now. So I wanna start by just, Luke, I mean, you got expertise in this area. We're using you. We're thankful for what you're doing. Just start by talking about the first question I want to propose is, why is digital and media so important for churches and pastors to consider?
Yeah, and it kind of goes back to, you know, what we kind of alluded to earlier, in that especially now, you know, what I'm considering to be, if you will, post-COVID, post-pandemic for the most part, depending on what part of the country you live in. But is this idea that people are coming to your church first digitally? And they're coming to see your church online. Now, there are certainly aspects of non-digital media that matter. Like, I think there's a great value in particular on your campus of having good signage, clear signage that is, you know, helps people know where to find the kids' classes and the nurseries and the auditorium and all of that stuff. And that cannot be understated. I think there's a value to having either some type of outreach card or maybe even a business card, something that you can hand out to people just to let them know about your church. And so all of that stuff, though, aside, really the focus now more than ever is the digital aspect of things, as far as, like I said, the church online. And so having that, a good online presence, a good church online presence digitally with your website and other aspects is so crucial now. And in fact, I mean, and that has been one of the positives, if you will, of going through the past 2 years and all of the craziness that brought about, is that church leaders and pastors now, if before they didn't see the value, they are seeing the value now. And if they aren't seeing the value, they're never going to see it. And to be honest with you, their church probably isn't going to survive the next decade or so. I know that's a pretty brash statement, but I really do believe that. Oh,
there's no question. That's exactly what I thought when I saw that church website today. I thought, yeah, there's no way. It might be able to putz along and serve 30 or 40 people, those same people but there's no family's going to move to your town. Zero families are going to move to your town unless they are eccentric, subculture-ish, like they're looking for that. Mm-hmm. Like they intentionally do not want a hip church. And I'm not mm-hmm. even using that word like philosophically. They'll look at a church website, anything that sniffs hip, anything that looks current, they're not gonna come anyways. But if they're looking for dead, dry, you know, old school, and the website reflects that, and if that's who you're looking for, great. Hey, help yourself, man. But unsaved people that do not know Christ, they're out. They're gonna look at that and go, whoa, something's wrong here. Something's out of touch. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you another question. And honestly, this might end up being a two-part conversation. We're just going to have to play with the time here. You said something to me when I was in this struggle over live stream. And you said something to me privately one time that I just thought, I want to bring this out in the air online. You even encouraged me if we couldn't dial in our live stream. And I think we did, thankfully. But if we couldn't dial in our live stream, you suggested it would be better not to have it and to use some other means of video content. When the world thinks we have to have live stream, why don't you unfold what I just described a little bit?
Yeah. So this is probably one of the most controversial, if you will, kind of philosophies that I have. I did recently a series of episodes on my podcast about this, and I actually that's the most kickback I've ever gotten. You know, people reaching out and saying, I don't agree, why is this? And my philosophy is really this: if you can't do live stream right, just don't do it at all. And by doing live stream right, just to quantify that for you, if your live stream budget, when it goes to saying, I want to set up the gear and get everything in place as far as, you know, cameras and all the equipment involved, if your budget doesn't have six digits, you probably can't do it right. And for most churches out there, that's a deal breaker. I understand that. And so, because here's the truth is, just like you said about the bad church website. Well, what I'm seeing now, and again, this steps on toes and whatever, but I don't really care, is that most church live streams are just bad. They're like the phone set up in the background. I've even seen, it's awful and it really makes you cringe, but the phone on the pulpit, you know, getting the upshot on the double chins and all of that of the past, I will say this, offer a lot of grace and mercy to the actual early days of the pandemic when it's like, hey, we're just scrambling to make something happen. I get it. It's crisis mode. Make it happen. Whatever. God can use it regardless of the I get that. But again, we're 2 years out. We're past that. And so what I'm saying is when we hear the word church online or online church, we tend to make it synonymous with live stream. They're not synonymous. They don't have to be. And so if you can't do live stream right, don't do it at all. However, that doesn't mean don't have a church online digital presence and even use something like video or some type of recording of your sermons to let people, you know, get a taste of your church and get to know your church online.
That's a great point. I mean, for those that may be wondering for an outlet there, like if you aren't live at the time of your church service, get a good podcast situation where you can post your sermon that day and have it pushed out to your audience that afternoon.
Yeah.
If we were able to dial ours in, we do not have a six digit budget for it. I was fortunate to have some cameras that are really good and our sound system's good. Even though we have a static view, it's a pretty good static view with lyrics coming up and it looks clean. Mm-hmm. If I was going to upgrade it, it would be that. If I was going to go to the next level, it would be that. So I decided to go ahead and keep it, but we only push it in one dimension. It's only on Facebook, and that's it. Yeah. So we know it's got a limited reach. I mean, I only have like 99 views a week on my sermon online. I have lots more than that on my podcast sermons. Mm-hmm. But that's because for us, live stream is a local thing for our church.
Yeah.
Really for the people of our church who are not showing up. The audio is something I'm pushing out to a lot more people.
Yeah, I was going to say, and that's where for churches that already have that live stream established, you know, because that's why I get the pushback. They say, hey, we spent maybe it wasn't hundreds of thousands, but tens of thousands, even thousands of dollars. That's a substantial budget for most churches. So I get it. Well, hey, we spent the money. We did it. And using in the application you're talking about is exactly right. Like this is for our church. So I even say, yeah, just you can still live stream or do use your equipment to record your services, but make it a private request only type of situation. You know, if you do truly have somebody who for health reasons can't get out of their home. I mean, I think about my grandpa. My grandpa for years has been unable to get out of his house because of, you know, his health, and he loves to be able to watch church at home. And so for those type of people, yeah, it's a request only live stream link, you know, to YouTube or Facebook or something like that. That's somewhat private and again has to be requested to access. And I see a value in that, but making that you know poor quality live stream the first impression of people on your church or of new people for your church, that is not a good idea because that first impression is going to be poor. And you know, this has been, again, another thing we see is these, think about the mega churches, you know, the big churches that are literally producing, like, you know, your Elevation, your North Point, you know, Andy Stanley Life Church. You think about these big churches. I mean, they are literally producing broadcast quality live stream. Your church is not going to compete with that. I mean, we're talking a seven figure setup with those churches. You're not going to compete with that. Mm-hmm. And so by offering, it is one of those things like, hey, just if you can't offer that type of quality in terms of like your front facing, it's a public thing. Don't do it at all. There are all alternatives, and I'm glad to dive into those. But the main thing is remove this mindset of live stream and church online are synonymous because they're not. There's so much more to church online than the live broadcast aspect.
That is that's so helpful. And I think I hope somebody will pick that up. And we, for instance, took your idea and we have narrowed our Facebook reach just to our church. Mm-hmm. And now as an outreach piece, I put together the 5 minutes that could change your life video, which we did with our same equipment in a nice recording studio. Graphics are there. I don't think anybody would debate that it's sharp and it's clean and the audio's good. Gives the gospel. It's actually our gospel track now. So we did use video to push out. And I'm getting, I mean, you know, several views a week now from now people are pushing the cards out. So new hits on YouTube. And then I think in terms of you had mentioned this idea, we're not doing it yet. And this is where we'll end this episode. And then we're just going to click right back in and do a part two.
Sounds good.
But you had mentioned doing something like a weekly touch point that was almost like a devotional, high quality video where once a week we do ours on, we do a midweek touch point. So this would be like, we call it halftime. And this would be like halftime touch with Pastor Sam's. Just do a quick devotional thought. Here's what's coming up this weekend, and post a new one out every week, maybe through a YouTube, you know, like auto. The new one gets popped up on the website. And it's a first impression of the pastor, of his teaching, of his personal energy, et cetera. That sounds like a good idea. Anything else that comes to your mind as far as changing the mindset of live stream to online church? Give us just a couple other ideas on that line, and then we'll pick up the next thread next time.
Gotcha. Okay, so first of all, we've already talked about it, but church online starts with really your website. So make sure that that is not only aesthetically pleasing, obviously, but that your information's current. I am shocked how many current and that the most important information, which is your service times and location, make sure that that's prevalent on your site. I'm shocked how many churches you have to dig and dig and dig through pages and pages of their website to find service times and location. If it's not one of the first things you see on your website, that's if people are going to attend, that's what they care about. But moving beyond just your website, the second thing I'd say do is make sure you have an audio podcast set up. Most churches are equipped to record, you know, through your sound system and audio setup. You're equipped to record quality audio. Recording quality audio nowadays, even if you don't have a sound system, is something that you can do for literally set up for sub $100. I mean, buy a little mobile lapel that plugs into your phone. They make them out there like that. I have specific recommendations on that that I talk about on my podcast and stuff. But you can start getting a quality audio recording of your sermon, weekly sermon, and then publishing that to a podcast. Setting up a podcast is super simple and it's free. I recommend Anchor.fm. It's like becoming the YouTube. It's owned by Spotify. It's becoming like the YouTube of audio podcasts. You could set up a podcast completely free, link that to on your website, and now people can. They can start to engage with your sermons, audio only, but it's going to be quality audio. And then, yeah, the next phase would be, what can we do to start getting some quality video content out there, like you said, in creative ways? Not video of our sermon and our worship experience necessarily, but something that is going to be, like you said, this idea of you call it halftime. Every week, it's just a quick video of, you know, the pastor saying, hey, maybe here's a recap of last Sunday's sermon and a preview of this Sunday's, or here's what's going on at our church, something like that. Or I talked to another pastor, and I thought it was a great idea that he's going to try to implement at his church. His church online presence is going to be he's going to try to, as professionally as possible, record a 5 to 6 part mini series of, you know, 5 to 10 minute videos of, you know, something like a devotion. And he's just going to have that as evergreen content that, you know, when you come to your church, you come to your church's website, rather, you can go and you can watch this mini series and you can, because if you're new to your church, or if someone's rather new to your church website, they're not going to know if that content was produced last week or 6 months ago. You know, not to say you should never update that, but it's something that you could easily keep rolling on your website for, you know, 6, 12, maybe even 18 months or more. That's just kind of like I said, that mini series about whatever you want it to be about, you know, but something that just makes that strong impression. And the good thing about producing content like that video is that it's made for the video audience. So, or made for the online audience, rather. You know, whenever they're watching your sermon, they're really watching something that's obviously intended for the live audience. But when you make a video, you know, I know people can't see the video, but you can actually look into the camera. You talk in a tone that's appropriate. The content is produced for the online viewer. And so, and when you think about it that way, it makes producing that kind of content much more doable and realistic. And it's going to make that strong impression on your digital online visitors.
Yeah, that's super. Well, man, that is some great advice for getting your church online savvy and roll in the right direction. We're gonna next time we're gonna talk about some advantages of using a tool and a resource like yours, and I'm excited about that. We're gonna leave a link to some of your podcast episodes that are relevant to this topic into our show notes. So I'm going to have you send some of those over to me. Sure. We'll also leave in the show notes a link to Luke's website, Luke's email. I highly recommend Church Media HQ. The guys have been, it's been phenomenal for us. Quick turnarounds. In fact, Luke, I'm pretty picky generally about just stuff, but I have had virtually no changes. And what you've sent me, I've been like, man, this is exactly what I was looking for. Any changes have been almost additions or just minor. Let's just tweak that one little thing. And I think you represent, for a church audience, a pastor, you have the heart of ministry. And so you're able to connect that. So we're going to try to get some of our listeners pushed over to you to get some help there.
Well, again, if you want to hear the rest of that conversation, then you are going to want to head over to Brian Sams podcast, wherever you're listening to the podcast. Get subscribed there, and you can hear part two of my conversation with Brian, which, honestly, I think I liked a little bit more even than part one. And so you're going to want to make sure that you definitely check that out on the Brian Sams podcast feed. Speaking of podcast feeds, if you haven't subscribed to this podcast yet, make sure that you do, because here, very, very soon, we're going to be making some changes to our podcast. We're going to be changing the name, gearing our content a little bit differently, still very much relevant to church leaders and really any type of leader out there who wants to know how to make the best of technology and media. And so I'm really looking forward to diving into our all new podcast format here very soon. So make sure you're subscribed there. Also, wherever you're listening to podcast, as well as YouTube, you're going to make sure you're there, because we're going to be putting some YouTube exclusive content on our YouTube channel moving forward. We're going to be putting actually quite a bit of exclusive content that is not always going to appear here on the podcast, but it will be there on YouTube. So make sure you check that out. Well, thanks again for joining me, and I look forward to seeing you next time right here on our podcast here at Church Media HQ.